Welcome to the Frisco Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ellis, and today we are here with City Council Place 2 candidate, Shona Huffman, running in the runoff elections that are coming up on June 18th. Shona, welcome to the show. It's good to have you on the Frisco Podcast.
Great. It's great to be here. Good to talk with you.
Well, thank you for coming out today. So you are running in place two for City Council.
That's correct.
That is the seat being vacated by Jeff Chaney, correct?
Correct. Jeff Chaney. Term limits. He is terming out of seat two.
Okay. So the runoffs are on June 18th. So what that means is there was the regular election that already happened. Mm-hmm. Nobody got 50% plus one vote.
Correct.
Although I think you were fairly close.
Fairly close. We were in between, we were right around 49%.
Yeah.
So very close.
Very close. But because nobody got 50% plus one, we go to a runoff. So the top two vote getters get to keep going for a while.
We get to extend this journey for a little while longer, yes.
Okay. And so that's going to happen. The voting is on June 18th, and there's early voting, I think. When does that start?
Early voting is going to start on June 6th, which is a Monday. It will be 8 to 5, June 6th through June 11th. So that's a Monday through a Saturday. And then they'll take a break on June 12th. And then on June 13th and 14th, which is a Monday, Tuesday, it'll be 7 to 7.
Okay.
And then on Saturday the 18th, it'll be 7 to 7 again. So plenty of opportunities for people to come back out and cast their votes again.
That's right. And it's super easy to vote in Frisco, so there's no excuse for not going.
Super easy to vote in Frisco. And kids will be out of school, so there's no excuse to not have time to get out there. Everyone can get out there and vote. And it's hugely important that if you, especially those who cast their vote the first time, go out and do it again and make sure that the leaders that you want to have taking us forward over the next few years get their voices heard. So,
all right. Very good. So what made you want to run for city council? I know you've been involved in the city for a while. So maybe tell us a little bit about how you've been involved and why you want to be on city council now.
So we've actually lived in this community for 12 and a half years now. We moved from a neighboring suburb, and we, like most young families in this community, moved here for the schools and what we saw Frisco doing as a community. We kept driving up this way and saw what was happening and just really wanted to be part of it here. And we often talk about the fact that that's one of the best decisions we've ever made as a family. And so we've been here 12 and a half years, as I said, my husband Brian and I, and we have two daughters, Chloe and Lily. Chloe is a 8th grader at Cobb Middle School, and Lily is a 6th grader at Cobb Middle School. So we often make the joke that we are in the trenches of two middle school girls in our home. So we accept prayers and encouragement and wisdom in that. But I have been involved in the community for a number of years. I started off actually in my career as a high school teacher. Spent 12 years in the high school classroom.
What did you teach?
Government and civics.
Okay.
And U.S. history.
Very good.
And so I also happen to be a coach, a co-coach on a national debate team, nationally ranked, and enjoyed that very much, and spent a lot of time looking at policy, a lot of time researching policies across the United States, but loved civics and loved government and loved teaching that, but loved how our system works, loved everything from the federal level all the way down to the municipal level. And so that was kind of my first love. I have a master's degree in poli-sci, and so it truly is a passion of mine. As I've gotten involved over the last several years in Frisco, and a lot of that has come through Leadership Frisco and other organizations that I've been part of. But a key part of that has been in my work with the Chamber of Commerce as the Director of Government Affairs. My job has been to, on a daily basis, look out for the policies and the pieces of legislation, both at the federal and state levels, but also at the city level, that impact our community, and to basically help advocate for the things that were best for the business community and the residents, because I firmly believe that what we do well here as a business community very much impacts our residents. And how we keep our residents happy and what makes us a strong community is also very much what creates a thriving business community. So it's a huge partnership there. And so that's really where I've gotten involved a lot, is in just being on a day-to-day watching out for things that were happening, working with our current city staff and our current elected officials and our county officials on different projects, whether it's things that needed to come in as far as business or things that we were promoting commerce, or when it was actually things to help protect local government and things that we saw that maybe the state government or the federal government was looking to control aspects here in our community that we didn't, we can do it better here. We don't need anybody else telling us how to do it. And so those are some of the ways that I started to get involved. When it came to making the decision to run for council, we started to look at, because I was so heavily ingrained in attending city council meetings on a, you know, every time there was a city council meeting and every event that they were doing for 3.5 years, as we were looking down that path, we started to see a lot of the possible turnover that was about to happen, both on city council levels with some people turning out, on planning and zoning with some others hitting their term limits. And then also with our city staff, it's no secret that several of our key staff leaders are looking to retire at some point soon. And as we go to move forward as a community, it's going to be hugely important that we have leaders that can carry us through that transition.
Yeah.
And those leaders have got to have a really in-depth knowledge of where we've been, where we are right now, and where we're going to make sure that that transition is smooth. And as we sat around and watched what was possibly happening, and I kept thinking, well, we need to make sure that we have strong leaders. And I would talk to others and say, we need to make sure that we find some really strong leaders going forward. I had somebody kind of point those fingers back at me and say, you really need to consider, instead of talking about how we find strong leaders, you need to consider stepping in and showing your leadership that you've already done and bringing that knowledge to the table. So that's how we got to this point, and I think that's what we bring to the table is an in-depth knowledge. I don't have to train myself on the issues we've already been involved in. I don't have to learn a lot of those steps that we're taking or we've already taken. I've been involved. I have been part of that. I've been watching that. I've been invested in that for several years, and I'm ready to lead on day one.
All right. Well, speaking of issues, there's one that we were just talking about before
yes.
we started recording. Now, people will have heard about this by the time
right.
this airs, but as of recording time, we just found out that the Bury the Lines issues, the issue is being buried, if you will. A decision has been made.
It is.
And the results are?
The results are that the lines, the proposed transmission lines, and that's what we want to be clear on. It's not regular electric lines around the city. It is the proposed new giant transmission lines that we're going to run down Main Street from the tollway to 423. They were going to run overhead. The PUC made the decision this morning in a 2-1 decision that they would be buried. And so if you can't see the smile on my face through
you can hear it.
Through the podcast, hopefully you can hear that because I'm a resident of Main Street on that side. And so I personally am affected by that. I drive down Main Street multiple times a day because I work off of Main Street. And I also have been one of the leaders in this process with all the commercial property owners to get this done. So I think I was sharing with you before, at one point about 9 months ago or so, we added up the hours that I had invested in this, and we were over 200. At this point, I think it's safe to say I'm probably to 300 to 400 hours of investment in research and getting this project buried. And so I am pleased with the decision. I am pleased for the residents in that area. I am pleased for the commercial property owners who have worked to develop that area of town. And I am pleased that our city stepped up to the plate in a tremendous way to support those efforts. And I don't think enough can be said about our city staff and our city officials for thinking that and believing that this was a project that needed to happen. And, you know, this truly was a team community effort. And I say it all the time, I think one of the things that makes Frisco the best community to live in is that we come together as a community to do things that are good for our community. And this is truly one of those examples.
Yeah, and we've seen with the things that we cover around town, we have seen that time and time again in numerous different ways. So it sounds like yet another good example of people in the community and the city coming together and accomplishing what they want to accomplish.
It's a great effort on all parts, and I think that, you know, one thing the PUC said is they typically see landowner versus landowner involved in this, or they see residents versus the businesses. That's not the case here. You saw the business community joining hands with the residential community, joining hands with the ISD and the city to come together, and we worked well together, and I think we've done that a lot. Yeah. Over the years.
Yeah, very good. So, and I think if it's probably a good indicator of what you're in for, should you get elected to city council. I know we've had conversations with multiple city council people on the show. We've had Mayor Masso on the show. And one of the things a lot of people aren't aware of is that, one, city council positions are not paid.
Correct.
There's a small stipend, but it is a very small stipend.
Correct.
But it is also a tremendous amount of work. This is a lot of time for everyone. So for those that have full-time jobs and then do this on top of it, you're really working two full-time jobs.
You are.
It's a big commitment.
You are. There is a big commitment. One of the key things that I think is key here, too, is I have the blessing of being able to work part-time. Not that that matters in a sense, because we've had many of our public servants who've worked full-time or part-time or any of those as they've served. So to me, it's not about that part, but I think it's about understanding the level of commitment that this position takes. Nobody goes into this thinking that it's going to be easy, or at least they shouldn't go into
yeah.
this. But I think one of the things that is a benefit for me is that because I have been so involved over the last several years, I'm very aware of the meetings. I'm very aware of the commitments because I've been attending them as well, even as not as an elected official, but as a citizen and as someone who was working within the community. I've been attending those events and having those meetings along with them. And so there is an awareness of what the level of engagement has to be. But as a growing city, I think that's necessary. And I would expect that of anyone that would represent me as
yeah.
a voter and and as a citizen. So, yes, there is a huge effort that's involved in that. But I very much believe that not only am I up to the task, but I'm also very aware of what that commitment looks like.
Good. Good. Well, yeah, definitely not something to be taken lightly.
Correct.
So now that the power lines are handled, what are some of the other issues that are maybe top of mind for you, things that have come up in conversations you've had with people during the race for city council? What are some of the things you're thinking about and focusing on?
Well, utilities are always a huge issue when it comes to a growing, developing area, especially when we're growing as fast as we are. So there are several utility issues that are still kind of bubbling up and percolating a little bit. There's another one on the west side. There is another issue on the east side that involves transmission lines. And so I'm very engaged in both of those, have been already in meetings with not only city staff, but also with other elected officials. But I've also already been meeting, because I have a lot of those resources, I've been meeting with the electrical providers to get all of the information, to find out what the facts are, and to help make some of the decisions that are best for our community, because that's really who we represent. You know, when you are elected as city council, you don't represent the region. You represent our borders within Frisco. And so that's really my priority. So any of the utility issues that we have going forward is huge. And I say that I'm not a regulatory utility attorney, but I have done a lot of studying and research over the last 3 years in it has somewhat become one of those kind of special interests of mine. And I think I bring a lot of that base to the table. Some of the other issues that come with growth and development are, you know, there's growing pains in that. It is not easy to grow a city and to grow it as fast as we grow it and have been growing it, and to do that well. And that's kind of an issue for us. We have some competing interests that we need to make sure that we do this in a way that we're not necessarily giving up one thing that means something to us in order to get something else. And sometimes we need to find a way to balance those things. So as we grow and develop, you know, we are losing some of the green fields that have been here over the last several years that many of us moved here and loved. We are losing some of that. But and not that I want that, but at the same time, those property owners in a property rights state, as a lifetime conservative, you know, those are things that as we move forward, I need to be mindful of the fact that property owners have the rights to develop their property the way they are zoned for and see fit. And so there is a lot of that balance that you need to strive between maybe what the community might want versus what a property owner might want. And sometimes those things can be in conflict. So I see that as a very important issue going forward, and how we balance that and how we work creatively to maybe not, we can't fix those problems, but how we come up with the best decisions maybe in the end. So I think that's something else. And you know, certainly water falls into that. I've been working very much in depth with trying to support getting the new reservoir, the lower Bodart Creek Reservoir, online. We've got some issues that the Water District is stumbling with that, not because of our own issues, but because of the new EPA standards that have been added. And I've been at the forefront of working on that and helping to get that expedited. Because again, we're a growing region, and we've got to be able to supply water in that area. But I think it's also in how do you maintain a community feel when you have a lot of new people moving in and may not understand what that community looks like, or bring other ideas to the table. How do you pull that all together to keep a united community? And I think that that's something that we very much need to keep at the forefront. Was I reading this morning that we have, out of any of the areas growing in the country, we are the top one in the last 5 years because we've added 36,000 people. Wow. That's you know, how do we do that and still maintain what the Frisco community looks and feels like? And I want to make sure that for the person who comes, you know, 10 years from now, and the person who came 10 and 20 years before now, that community feel is still ever present. And that's a huge part of what I think about and look for when we're solving these problems.
Okay. Yeah, those seem to be issues that are cropping up commonly in conversations that we're having as well. Mm-hmm. Water is always top of mind, especially this time of year going into summer. The growth in Frisco is clearly something that everybody's keeping a close eye on, because it's just happening so fast. And certainly through our eyes, it looks like we've done a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Maybe not perfect in all ways, nor would you expect that, but I can't imagine a lot of cities or places that I've lived that have experienced growth, even a fraction of what we're having here, have managed it nearly as well. And I think that goes back to speaking to some of the institutional knowledge and the longevity of some of our city managers and leaders that have been around for a long time, and forward thinking in what was coming to Frisco.
Right. And I think forward thinking is key. You know, there's that sense of you want to have forward thinking with an eye back to the past, of knowing what we are and where we've come from. It's not going to happen happenstance. We're going to have to be prepared for what comes. And it's interesting to me that there are some who want to slow the growth. And I'm not sure how you slow that growth, because other people want to move here for the exact same reasons that we've chosen to move here. And that growth is coming. So then the question becomes more about, well, how do you do that in a way that is productive, in a way that is beneficial, in a way that actually, like I said, promotes community?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I know there are people that would like to see it slow down, but I don't know that we can cause that. I mean, it's gonna come. So we just have to deal
with it. Short of building a wall, and there are others who promote building walls out there. And
I don't think we want to put a wall around Frisco.
Sure
that might send the wrong message.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would. We certainly don't want to send the message that we are closed.
No, so. Not by a long shot. Let's go back and talk about the utilities a little bit, though, because I know this has been an issue more and more recently, and that in particular is the Oncor issue. So what has been your involvement and knowledge of that one so far, and can you tell us a little bit about what's happening there?
So there's a question of a proposed substation along Legacy that is, would be right across from Legacy Christian Academy and also Allen Elementary, and it backs up to a neighborhood. It is a green space area. It is zoned for a green space area, and future zoning shows green space area back there. And so that is kind of what you look at homeowners buy property for. It is key to know that it is also right under power lines that exist, large transmission lines that already exist and have been there for decades. So Oncor has chosen this piece of property. Oncor does not own the property yet, but they have asked the city for an SUP, which is a special use permit, to be able to, since it's not zoned for utility, to be able to get permission to do that, to put a substation there. the residents in that area are against that. And, you know, they don't want a substation built right behind their homes when that was not what the plan was. One of the things that we often need to remember as residents is that regardless of what we were told when we bought our property, that it's our due diligence to make sure that whatever that zoning of property behind us or around us, especially if it is along major thoroughfares, that we do our due diligence to make sure what that is zoned for as we're buying property, to know what might come in the future. These residents, I believe, have done that, and it was not zoned for utility. So it has been through one public hearing at this point with the planning and zoning, and they heard loud and clear from the residents at that time that they wanted them to look for other locations. They will be holding more public hearings with both planning and zoning before planning and zoning would make a recommendation either to turn it down or to approve it. And then city council would have the opportunity to either accept that recommendation or overturn that recommendation by a supermajority. And so there are several steps ahead. What is happening is on June 2nd, Encore is having a meeting with the community to then have citizens' input to that process. And I would encourage citizens to get involved in that process and to attend that meeting. It'll be at Reedy High School. I believe it starts at 7 p.m. on June 2nd, but it'll be an opportunity for residents to be heard. Understand that power has to go somewhere in a developing area, and that there are legal, you know, requirements on that and constraints. But at the same time, it's important that our residents are heard, and that if there's opportunities to move this substation elsewhere and there's better locations, that we do our due diligence as a community to seek that out. And so at the point that I'm at right now, I very much believe that there is a better option. And I don't have that better option right now. But again, I believe it's Encore's job to find a better option. Yep. Of where it should go. And so I will continue to research, continue to study that and find out, and continue to hear from residents. The key thing that I would say in this issue is that these are not issues that we can just make side comments and throw our opinions out on, especially even as candidates. It takes a lot of background knowledge and understanding to know what the law says about the utility companies and where they can go and what happens when cities say no, what that process looks like, because there's a process to that too. And just like the Bury the Lines, that was a long process. And so, you know, are we ready to go through another long process like that? Possibly, but there's a lot of things that need to happen before that. And so I think what I bring to the table as a candidate in that is that I have that knowledge. I'm not speaking just out of opinion on this issue. I have a ton of background knowledge on how this process works. I've been in the trenches on this. I'm not just speaking in hyperbole about it. I'm actually speaking from real life experience of doing this and getting in the trenches and working for the residents on this. So a key issue, yes, but we need to continue to hear from the residents at this point.
Okay, very good. Well, Shauna, anything else you'd like to leave us with before we wrap things up here and move on and get ready for the elections?
You know, this has been an exciting process. It has been a long, we announced our candidacy last July for city council, and I would not have made this decision if I did not feel that truly the experience that I bring to the table and the knowledge that I bring to the table was what was right for Frisco at this time. If as a resident, I expect that of people who represent me.
Indeed.
And so I would expect the same of any candidate who would do that. So I believe that in this long road that I've heard from constituents, and I've heard that they love this community, and that's why they're here. We are not perfect. We've got our own faults, but we have a wonderful community to live in. And it would be not only my my pleasure, but it would be my humble honor to serve this community as a public servant and to be in the trenches working side by side with our residents to continue to make this city great. And those of you who've already gotten out and voted, thank you for that. And those who've been supporting us all along, thank you for that. We need your vote one more time. So we would encourage you to get back out. Runoffs tend to be very low attended, and so we want to make sure that your voices are heard. So get back out and vote again. I'd also ask you to go to maybe ShaunaFrisco.com. Okay. And check out some information about me. You can also see me on Facebook at Shauna Huffman and find out more about me. And if you've got questions for me, don't hesitate to reach out and let me know, and I'd be happy to meet with you.
That's a great thing about local elections is the people that you are voting for are very directly accessible you on Facebook, email. They may even live in your neighborhood.
That is correct.
Don't go beat their door down too much, but you know, they're not far away.
You see us in the grocery store. You see us in the schools. We are here living and breathing this community too. So that's important. And I think that's a great thing about local elections. So get involved and go vote.
Yeah. And it's important for people to understand as well that the runoff elections in particular have historically had very low voter turnout. So every vote, in the most literal sense, every vote really does count.
Every vote counts. Every vote counts. Yeah. And, you know, it is your voice. It is your one opportunity. And we get very excited about presidential elections, and we all turn out for the primary elections on that. And yet the decision makers who are closest to you and the ones who have an impact on you on an hourly basis and what you're doing every day are those who are at your local level. So that's where your voice needs to be heard. So get out and use it.
Well, I've been ending every episode with almost exactly those words. So you just made my job easy today.
Great.
Yeah, it's never more important than it is on a local level.
That is.
And these are the people that really affect your day-to-day life more than anyone else. So take a couple of minutes. It's a fast process. I've never seen any real lines for voting in Frisco in the local elections. You're going to go in, you're going to cast your vote, you're going to be out of there in a few minutes. Please go make it happen. Last day, the official voting day is June 18th.
June 18th.
That's a Saturday. We're going to have location information, everything else linked up in the show notes. So please get out there and vote one more time.
Please get out there and vote. And if you're going to be out of town because your vacation's already started, you can request mail-in ballots. And those are available through the city, too. So you can request those.
Okay, good to know. We'll hunt that down and put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, Shauna, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for everybody out there listening, we will talk to you next time on the Frisco Podcast.